Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
You can turn your Bibles again to 1 Peter this morning. We'll make our way there. 1 Peter. I want to begin, though, this Sunday with the words that I began last Sunday with on Palm Sunday. And that is, today rightly celebrates the singular most pivotal moment in human history, or it is a waste of time. Today celebrates the singular most pivotal moment in human history, or it's the greatest sham perpetrated on humanity by really who are a bunch of losers and nobodies. It's one or the other. Today either marks humanity's most confident, joyous hope, or today marks nothing but a great deception. Now, as Christians, we believe that today is the day that all humanity needs. We believe that it is the day we need. You believe that it is the day that you need. Because you needed a great high priest. You needed a priest to go before an almighty God, an all-holy God, and plead your case. Because you weren't holy. Because you weren't righteous. Because you had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So today is the day of victory. And today marks the day that the Heavenly Father approved the priest that sacrificed himself. And that proof came when Jesus of Nazareth was raised from the dead. He is risen. He is risen indeed. So today rightly celebrates the singular most important moment in human history, or it's a waste of time. But herein lies the rub, since you're with us on Easter Sunday. If today is important enough to celebrate, and if it's as important as I'm suggesting it is, it's also important to celebrate every Sunday. The disciples broke with Jewish tradition on this and worshiped on the first day of the week, celebrating the resurrection, the day that Christ was raised from the dead, as opposed to celebrating together as a community on the Sabbath day, on the seventh day. And if today is important enough to celebrate today, if it's as important as I am suggesting it is to you, then it's important enough to celebrate every day that God gives you, that he gives us. Easter Sunday is not the end. Easter Sunday is the beginning. Easter Sunday, yes, it's the end of the sting and curse of sin and death, but it's the beginning of a new kind of life. Now, during this Lenten season, we've been talking about how we can buy into that life, how we can celebrate that life through the disciplines, through fasting, through giving, through prayer. And then, as this leads us to a life of simplicity, we can celebrate these things in this way. But we've bookended this conversation of the disciplines with talking about who Jesus is and what Jesus does. He is the prophet who came to show you the heart and will of God. And then as the week turned, this past week, 3 years, he acted as the prophet for you and for me. And this past week, he took on a priestly ministry. But today, the priest who gave his life for you is no longer in the tomb. The priest was raised from the dead. He is our king. He is your king. Or is he your king? Is Jesus your king? Today is important enough to celebrate today. It's important enough to celebrate every day that God gives you. 1 Peter chapter 2, here's the context. We're going to pick up in verse 21, but the context is submission. Submit. Verse 13, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men. And then in verse 15, for it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. And then 16, live as free men. But do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. We pick up in 21. To this you were called, to this life of submission you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats, Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Peter is calling us to a life of maturity through submission. Submission to the one who died and was raised again for us. Let us pray. Father, we hear your words. We hear the words as they were proclaimed in the book of the Revelation as the King who will come again. We hear your words as spoken through Peter of this King who suffered and who himself suffered even unjustly, but entrusted himself to the one who is just. Lord, this is the day you have made. This is the day we celebrate the great work of redemption. Open our hearts that we might receive your word. Open our hearts that we might be strengthened by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So, to whom do you submit? Who will you submit to? Some of you submit to your husbands. Some of you don't. Some of you submit to your wives. Some of you don't. Some of you submit to your parents. Some of you don't. And some of you submit to your teachers. And some of you don't. Submit's not a popular word. We're not supposed to talk about submit on Easter Sunday. This is not what we want to talk. We talk about Jesus' submission, but not our submission. We shouldn't be talking about this. But the Bible makes it clear from the beginning that we don't like to submit. I mean, this is the story of Adam and Eve, right? There they are in the garden. The serpent comes along. Why don't you try this fruit? Well, we can't try that fruit. If we do it, we'll surely die. God says not even to touch it. You won't die, says the serpent. If you try that, you will be like God. Try it. Go ahead. It's good. I promise. Really? I can be like God? Well, it does look good. So she's there, and she bites and shares with her husband, and they didn't submit, and they exerted their independence. And that's the story of you and the story of me. We long to be the makers of our own destiny, and we long to make the rules, don't we? Don't you like to make the rules? I like to tell Bella that I'm the boss in the house. I mean, I just say it. It doesn't really mean anything, but I tell her that I'm the boss because I like to make the rules. But in our culture in particular our culture, it seems like everyone wants to be the king. Everyone wants to be the rule maker. We don't want to submit to anybody else or anything else. It really, when it comes down to it, it's about our preference, our desire, and our opinion. If that works for you, great, but that doesn't work for me, so I'm going to do my own thing. This is where we are, it seems to me, as a culture. So when someone does come along and claims authority, when someone does come along and tries to exert authority over us and claims kingship, well, we tend to get a little bit tussled, don't we? Belle and I were arguing about this yesterday, about who was the boss in the house, and apparently she thinks it's her mother. But again, that's another story. We don't like people telling us what to do. We like to make our own decisions. Now, sometimes our rebellions are justifiable, right? Sometimes we rebel against authorities. It's for good reasons. I mean, we demand no taxation without representation. And in our world, we at least want decent representation. And we at least want good and creative and positive uses, stewardship of our taxes. And so we do have justifiable rebellions. And that's why people will rebel against tyrants like Muammar Gaddafi and Hosni Mubarak from a year and a half ago of these rebellions. This is why it happens. But sometimes our rebellions are not as easily justifiable. And that's what we've been talking about, Lent, because we do submit to King's stomach. Perry told us two donuts are better than one, if I recall correctly. We submit to King Calendar and we submit to King Wallet far too often. And then Jesus comes along as a prophet and he reminds us that we do owe our allegiance to one greater than ourselves. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And he reminds us that we shouldn't show allegiance only to ourselves, but to others. Look not only to your own interests, but to the others. And then as Jesus puts it, love your neighbor as yourself. But to do this, to give this kind of allegiance to God or to neighbor, requires that we submit. I'm going to propose this to you. Easter is also about submission. Yes, it is a day of freedom. I don't want to take away from that. It is a day of joyous freedom. Christ has freed you from the shackles of sin and death. Good news, reason to celebrate. But in doing so, he invites you to a new way of living, to a new king. He invites you to submit to a new king. Peter talks about this, verse 24 of chapter 2. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. Good Friday. Why? Easter Sunday. So that we might die to sins. Sounded like a good southerner on that word, sins, there, didn't I? Let's start over. It was a little too off. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, Good Friday. Why did he do so? Easter Sunday. So that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. Easter is also about submission. Now, in acquiring this freedom, though, in this priestly work that Jesus began this past week and completed, Jesus has been made king. King of kings and Lord of lords, to be exact. But here's the good news. Jesus is a king who has your best interests at heart. This king who not only asks, but ultimately demands your submission, has your best interests at heart. Do you believe that? Do you believe that King Jesus has your best interests at heart? Peter puts it this way, chapter 2, verse 25. For you were like sheep going astray. You were in rebellion. You were separated from God. You were lost. But now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls, restored to live a new kind of life. Now, this king who has your best interests at heart, he's not like other kings. This king is the good shepherd who lays down his life for you. This king is the shepherd. This king is the kind of king who took up your infirmities according to Isaiah and carried your sorrows, and he was pierced for your transgressions and he was crushed for your iniquities. And as Peter will repeat, it's by his wounds you are healed. This king is the one on whom the Lord laid your iniquity, the iniquity of all of us. This king is not like other kings. This king is the king who leaves the 99 sheep and goes to find the one lost sheep. Translated, this king leaves the 99 sheep and he goes and he looks and he retrieves you, because you were the lost sheep. Do you believe that King Jesus has your best interests at heart? If so, we continue in worship. If so, we continue to worship him week after week and day after day and year after year. If so, we give our lives to him to live righteously and in service to others. Now, this king is not like the kings of the world. He took on flesh and looked like us, but in so many ways he was unlike us. He was not given to sin. He did not give in to sin. He did not rebel as Adam and Eve and as we do. This king gently restores the soul that is hurting and that is lost. This king gently restores the soul that is weary and heavy burdened. This king restores the soul that is messed up and strung out. This king restores the soul this is the king who restores the soul that is the soul of a deviant, a misfit, a miscreant, a Cretan. This king restores the souls of drunkards, liars, gossips, and adulterers. In other words, this king restores your soul and mine. Do you trust this? Do you trust that this king has your best interests at heart? Peter says he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. And he calls him your shepherd. He calls him your overseer. Not for just when you're lost to retrieve you from your lost state, but also to continue to lead you to green pastures and to quiet waters. This shepherd king has your best interests at heart. Now, like I said a while ago, Easter is not the end. It's the beginning. The end of the curse and sting of sin and death. But the beginning of a new kind of life, life with hope and joy and confidence in the future. Today is Easter. Today we celebrate that Christ has given us the victory, that he has won the victory and he shares that victory with us. But we celebrate today, or I do, with a little bit of an eye towards the future, because Pentecost is just around the corner. In between now and Pentecost, Jesus gives marching orders. They're known as the Great Commission. And then on Pentecost, he empowers the apostles, the disciples, and he empowers you and me to live this life that he's called us to and to share this message of hope and love and joy and peace. Jesus is not like earthly kings. We celebrate King Jesus, who came humbly on a donkey. We celebrate King Jesus, who was raised from the dead for you and for me. And we celebrate King Jesus, who will return. Steve read, next time, not on a donkey, but on a white horse, for he will come again. But until that day that he comes again, do you trust that King Jesus has your best interests at heart? If so, then we might need to take seriously the call to continue in prayer, in generosity, in living in the rhythm of feasting and fasting. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Your sins are forgiven, and you are called to go forth and live lives of righteousness. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, we prepare ourselves now for the table. And we hear the call of Jesus. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Lord, this is your table given for us. May the bread nourish. May the cup nourish. May we drink deeply, knowing today your perfect love, which has our best interests at heart. In Jesus' name, amen.